Consider the many worlds of the late writer and illustrator Shel Silverstein. He was friends with Playboy founder Hugh Hefner and with Nashville songwriters such as Kris Kristofferson. His children's books have sold in the tens of millions. The Giving Tree, A Light in the Attic, Where the Sidewalk Ends. He also wrote quirky hit songs in the 1960s and 70s. Now, 6 years after Silverstein's death, there's a new CD with some of his best-known poems and songs, and there's a book titled Runny Babbitt. It's a collection of previously unpublished poems made up of spoonerisms, where the first parts of words are transposed. Here's one poem, Runny's Jig Bump, read by Dennis LaCourriere of the 70s group Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Runny be Quimble, Runny be Nick, Runny cump over the jandlestick. But now, what smells like Ferning Bluff? Guess he didn't hump jai enough.
Our occasional contributor Mitch Myers is Shel Silverstein's nephew. He wrote the liner notes for the new CD and helped compile the new collection of poems.
The story behind Runny Babbitt actually goes back about 25 years prior to Shel's death. He had been working on it forever. So I think he was a little ambivalent for quite a while. As I know, and as many people do know, Shel was a perfectionist, and he would never stop working on something until he was really sure it was finished. He had taken this as about as far as he could go, and the reason I know, and we all know that, is because he had dedicated the book to his good friend Larry Moyer, and if you look in the book, you can see it's dedicated to Mary Lawyer.
Right.
So we knew he was done, and there was just hundreds of great poems and illustrations to choose from.
You mentioned that he felt ambivalent about it. Why do you think he did?
I think he wasn't sure how it would be received. It is and was very different, and it's not easy, even for adults to read. I think actually younger children have a better time at it because they're not so preconceived in their notions of how words work, and the playfulness of it really comes across.
Let's give it a shot. You have a book there, right?
Now, I was hoping that you could read one.
Well, let's both try. There's one I like called Do Whit It. And there's a picture of, you see Runny Babbitt holding an axe. And there's a tree on the ground. And there's a man pointing a finger. He's wearing a wig. And here's how it goes. Runny Babbitt with his axe chopped down a treary tree. When Ratty Dabbit asked, Do Whit It? Runny said, Mot knee. Warge Goshington heard Runny lying, and he said, Oh my, you'll never pee the president, because you just lolled a tie.
You know, I just can't help but say that the drawing of the president looks suspiciously like Bill Clinton.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
With a wig.
And that's all I'll say about that.
Mitch, do you want to read one?
Well, I'll try. Let's try Runny and Danky. But if I flub it, you got to promise not to play this on the radio.
Here we go.
I'm not a great interpreter.
Give it your best shot, Mitch.
Danky Udle tend to wound, piding on a roni. He stuck a heather in his fat and mauled it cacaroni. He met Runny Babbitt hoppin', where the stound was groany. Runny on his pit of laws, Danky on his pony. Said Runny, Oh, dear Danky, I think a berm just whit me. Said Danky, Oh, poor Runny, romp up and jide here with me. And so they towed off into Round to buy some Bresh Filoni, Danky Udle and his friend, piding on the Roni.
That was perfect. You know, I could just tell that Shel Silverstein would have gotten a real pleasure out of being able to turn pea soup into a spoonerism. Let's listen to that one.
All right.
Runny and the Sea Poop. Runny went to Snary Jake's to get some tazen roast. But all Jake had was sea poop, which Runny made it host. He cried, I won't eat sea poop. I simply cannot bear it. Snary said, since you won't eat it, maybe you can wear it.
These are such expressive readings from Dennis LaCourriere. Tell us a bit about him and his connection with your uncle.
Well, Dennis, along with Ray Sawyer, were the two lead singers of Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. And Dr. Hook was a New Jersey bar band before Shel and his friend Ronnie Hafkin brought them into a movie called Who is Harry Kellerman and Why is He Saying These Terrible Things About Me? And they used the band in the movie. Not long after that, Columbia Records picked them up and recast them as a Cajun band from somewhere off in the distance. And they started having hit songs with Shel's material.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth. At $10,000 a show,
right?
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we never know is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my... It's such an interesting relationship to think about, because he was sort of like their in-house songwriter.
Yes, he wrote all the songs in the first few records and really, really helped them launch their career. But he had done that in different ways. I mean, I think he really helped Johnny Cash when he came up with A Boy Named Sue. It was his biggest hit ever in his whole life.
Did he write it specifically for Johnny Cash?
No. Johnny heard it at a guitar pool at the Cash residence, and June reminded Johnny to bring it with him, the song lyrics, when he was going to perform at San Quentin Prison. And they did it pretty much off the cuff, Johnny reading the lyrics off a page on the foot of the stage, and everybody loved it at the prison, and then it became a hit, number two hit in the country.
Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
You know, I've read that Shel Silverstein, your uncle, with his books, was so particular that he would have strong feelings about the typeface and the kind of paper it would be on. Never, I believe, let any of his books get printed in soft cover. Is that right?
The only one that's in soft cover is the ABZ book, but all the ones with HarperCollins and all the children's books per se are in hardcover and will remain so, and that was his wish.
Do you know why he had that wish?
Well, I can't say that I discussed it with him, but I do know that he likes things to be classy and forever, and I think the hardcover really kind of symbolized that whole situation.
I was wondering if that might have been sort of a daunting prospect, trying to put out a book of his posthumously. You had to be thinking, would he like this? Would this be a book he'd be proud of?
You know, the thing about Shel, and even just talking about him here, is, you know, for the most part, the family really wishes to remain anonymous. And I think that even after he passed away, we were still scared of him and afraid to make him mad and didn't really want to go beyond a certain point. And I think we came as close as we could without him being around.
Mitch Myers, thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
Mitch Myers is the nephew of the late Shel Silverstein. You can find illustrations and poems from Runny Babbitt and selections from the CD The Best of Shel Silverstein at our website, npr.org.
You'll see green alligators and long-necked geese, some Humpty Bacchanas and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never going to